welcome. Prepare your heart as we dive into the Word of God. Pastor Steve of Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is about to lead you into a life-changing encounter with grace and truth. Jesus Christ has a divine destiny perfectly orchestrated for those who are willing to be adventurous enough to receive His favor and blessing into their life. Our prayer is that you will allow the presence of the comforting Holy Spirit of God to radically display the Father's love for you. You are a part of God's beloved family, and that means you are greatly loved. Now over to Pastor Steve.
The distance between the manifestation of God's will in your situation, your healing, and remaining in oppression, what's the distance between God's perfect will in your life and you remaining in oppression? I can tell you the exact distance. The exact distance. Are you ready? It's going to be radical. The exact distance between God's perfect will and the enemy's continued oppression in your life is that much. And how do I know that? Because that's where my head fits, right there. Amen. That's the exact distance. The distance of your brain. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he was an Italian. Forget about it. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this, the ninth hour. Suddenly, a man in radiant clothing stood before me. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been remembered before God. I don't know if you just caught what this angel just told this Gentile. This unborn again Gentile. But he said, God has been watching your giving. Wow, that's quiet. Well, God don't care if I give or not. Well, take this Bible verse out of your Bible because it doesn't matter. He was not born again. And God was watching his prayer life. And his financial giving, money. If that's not politically correct to you, I'm sorry. I didn't write the Bible. Don't get mad at me, because they wrote the Bible, and I'm telling you what it says. This is an angel, so you know this isn't manipulated by some preacher who wanted to write the book of Acts to get whoever to give them an offering. Your prayers has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been remembered. You know that term remembered is a covenant term. Cornelius was operating in covenant with God before he was in covenant with God. That is radical. Radical. Therefore, send to Joppa for Simon, this is Peter, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner. So Simon was at Simon's house by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you were kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has instructed you to tell us. I wake up every Sunday morning. I'm just being facetious. I wake up every Sunday morning praying that I hear this every Sunday. Pastor Steve, we were praying, and we have all gathered in the presence of God to hear everything that you have to say. I haven't had it happen yet. I'm still believing. We're only 13. We're still a brand new church, 13 years old, so we haven't got there yet. But one day I'm going to walk up the sidewalk and we come into Beloved Church, and a bunch of people are going to go, Pastor Steve, we're all gathered in the presence of God to hear everything that you have to say. And don't do it on my birthday, because you're sneaky and you found out when my birthday is. Now then, we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has instructed you to tell us. And Peter began to speak. Whoa. He had the same response that I would have. Whoa. Now I truly understand that God does not show favoritism. You know why? They're Gentiles. Peter's a Jew. They thought that the gospel was for the Jews. Here's a bunch of Gentiles. That God literally had to have angels and visions and dreams and all kinds of stuff that happened just so Peter could get it through his dense skull to go and minister to the Gentiles. God was working hard in this situation, which, praise God, you and I are here because God was working hard in that situation. Thank God the Gentiles are here. Yeah. 35, but he also welcomes those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know, Peter just said, fearing him and doing what is right is somehow connected to Cornelius praying and giving. So you want to know what the fear of God and doing righteousness looks like? I don't know all the things it might look like, but I'll guarantee you two things it looks like is having an intimate prayer life and being a giver. Amen, Pastor Steve, great message. I like how you put that together. That's pretty radical. He has sent this message to the people of Israel, proclaiming the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace. Who is Lord of all? Is Jesus Lord of all the people in Washington, D.C.? Some of you are like, is this a trick question? No, Jesus is Lord of all, but not everybody has bowed the knee. You are Lord of me. If you don't do that, he's still your Lord, and there's going to come a day, the Bible tells us, that you will bow your knee. You're just not going to get the rewards of bowing your knee willingly. I would encourage you to make him Lord. And I know you're thinking, like, well, you're preaching at Beloved Church. Like, who here is not born again? I didn't say get born again. There's a big difference between being born again and Jesus as Lord. Amen. I'm not going there. You yourselves know, verse 37, what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John proclaimed. He's literally doing like a walk to Emmaus thing right here. Radical. Verse 38, this is what happened. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how Jesus went around doing good and healing all. Anybody know what all is in the Greek? All. Healing all that were oppressed. That were what? Oppressed. What's the difference between the perfect manifestation of God's will and oppression from the enemy? And all who were oppressed by Americans' government, by lack of money, by their mean uncle when they were seven, by their overbearing mother, oppressed by their mean pastor who called them stupid somehow at the beginning of the message. Oppressed by the devil. You might think that person that you hate, oh, hear me, beloved. You might think that person you hate, that you have unforgiveness towards, that you've got terrible feelings towards, that you've got all this animosity and anger towards. You might think they're your problem. And you've played right into the hands of the enemy. He wants you to think there's people that are your problem. Because if people are your problem, you can fight for the rest of your life against all the people that are going to be your problem. And you'll never solve it because you'll never change another person. Have you figured it out yet? Anybody old enough in the room to figure out you can't change anybody? You have a hard time changing yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you have a hard time changing you, for the sake of Christ, please get it out of your head that you're called to change anybody else. Amen. If God don't change them, they ain't changing. Amen. Now you can be an agent of that change, or you can work against it. You know how you work against it? By hating them, by having unforgiveness towards them, by thinking they're the problem instead of the devil. The devil is the problem. Does this need to be any more clear? Jesus was healing people that were oppressed by the devil. So if the devil's not your problem, then let me say it this way. Jesus can't heal you. Because he only heals all of those oppressed by the devil. Not oppressed by cancer, not oppressed by my propensity to have diabetes, not my arthritis. He only heals people oppressed by the devil. So if that's not you, you're going to have to find healing somewhere outside of Jesus. Good luck. Because if you go to the medical establishment, they'll have to try to kill you. Here, take this pill. Here, take this one. It'll stop that pill from doing that. How many of these do I need to get? I don't know. Jonathan said he was up to 37. Is that what it was? 37 pills. And half of them were to counteract the pills that... Talk about putting your body in shock. Jesus only heals people oppressed by the devil. Because God... Notice the because. Because God was with him. Well, I thought it was because he was Jesus. Because he was special. Because he had a unique mission. Well, according to the Bible, that should be informing our theology and our doctrines, the reason Jesus healed all these people was because, you know, because is an important word. It means something. Because God was with him. Is there anybody in a purple chair that God is with you? Uh-oh. You just hung yourself. I'll read on. We are all witnesses of all that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And although they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, God raised him up on the third day and caused him to be seen. The same God that was with him that healed all these people was the same God that raised him from the dead. That's kind of cool. Not by all the people, verse 41, he's hinting again to the walk to Emmaus. Not everybody seen him. But by the witnesses God had chosen beforehand. By us who ate and drank, who broke the body and drank the blood with him after he rose from the dead. The ones that had communion with him were the ones radical. 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and dead. He commanded us to preach to the people. Are you part of the us? If you've taken communion, if you've been born again, if Jesus is a part of your life, then you're an us. If you're an us, that means you're called to go and preach to the people. That doesn't mean pulpit with a mic. There's a lot of ways to preach. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel always. And if necessary, use words. Everything you do, everywhere you go, is a sermon. And people know what you believe. You are a fruit tree walking. And if you got apples on you, people are going to say, that's an apple tree. And then you're going to get mad because you're trying to be a pear tree. And you're going to say, don't judge me. How dare you judge me by my apples? It's not judgment. I can see. Amen. Well, I'm supposed to be a pear tree. You're just wrongly judging me. Well, if you've got all apples, maybe you're not doing it right. It's not wrong. That's not judgment. It's not condemnation. It's not shame. That's just reality. So if your pear tree is filled with apples, you ain't doing it right. Preach the gospel to the people and testify. That term testify is martyrio. It's actually a deeper version of that word. It's epimartyrio, where it literally is talking about going thoroughly into martyrio. And martyrio is the word that we get the English word martyr. So it means to thoroughly go into martyrdom, which means you should be as dead as you could possibly be. Hey, I'm raising up these people that are going to responding to me, Jesus, by my death and resurrection, and they're going to be people that are going to proclaim these truths with all of their life, including their voice, and they're going to live their life so dead that people are going to know that I'm the one that raised them. If I had a corpse up here, and you came up and called that corpse a mean name on Facebook, how many ways would they respond to you? What if I had this corpse up here and I slapped the corpse across the face? Is it going to jump up and say, hey, don't hit me, stupid you? If this is a true corpse, no matter what I do or say to it, it will not respond. If you are truly a martyr for Christ, no matter what the world, no matter what that friend of yours, that spouse, that parent of yours does or says to you, if you're truly a martyr, you will not respond. These are the people that he raised up. Live dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone, you know what everyone means? Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit interrupted his awesome sermon and did powerful stuff in the church, actually in the Cornelius living room. This happens to me pretty often in other places. It doesn't happen to me very often here. And some of it is familiarity breeds contempt, and I get that. But some of it is we're just so politically correct that we can't have this. But I'll be preaching in third world nations all the time, regular. And I'll get halfway into a healing sermon, and it'll get interrupted by someone getting healed. And they won't be quiet about it. In third world nations, God healing you might be the difference between life or death. See, because all of you have doctors. You probably got more doctors than you can name. An eye doctor and an ear doctor and a nose and throat doctor. And you got women got pregnancy doctors. And you got doctors coming out your... In other parts of the world, they ain't got none. None. They ain't pharmacies. God heals you, you die. And so you got a guy coming in preaching with healing, and actually he's got fruit backing it up. I've seen thousands of people, probably at this point, tens of thousands of people healed. And he's preaching like, hey, this Jesus, who you can access right here and right now, wants to heal you. They'll receive it. Because there ain't no backup plan. There's no plan B. I get it from Jesus or I don't get it. So the most success that I see in America of people being healed is terminal people. When the doctor says, that's it, you're terminal. There's nothing we can do for you. Those people tend to seek and find what they're looking for, which is Jesus is going to heal them. So sometimes it needs to get that bad. You're just having your little aches and pains and your little sicknesses and your problems. And as long as you can manage it, if you can pain manage, if you can issue manage, and you can get along from day to day, you'll be fine. You don't really need to hear the healing message. Oh, it's a great truth, good revelation, good scripture, Pastor. But if it's life or death, if you've come here under a terminal designation and this is it, this might be the difference between you living next week or not, I can assure you there would be a much different attitude on the ear of that person. Maybe you're not there. I'll just keep preaching this until you get there. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit said, bam! Take that. Why? Because they received it. All the circumcised believers, 45, all the circumcised believers, which I think is really interesting because the church is circumcision neutral. So all the circumcised church who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. What Holy Spirit? The same Spirit that he just said in verse 38 was the Spirit that anointed Jesus to heal all that were oppressed of the enemy. That Spirit, not a different Spirit. No, that Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit. He was even poured out on the Gentiles. 46, for they heard them speaking in tongues. Let's go back to verse 38 and I want to unpack this a little bit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed. This is God's doing. Steve can't sit at the house and pray in tongues long enough and beg and plead and climb the walls and scream at God. And I can't do anything to get anointed. God's either going to anoint me or you're not going to be anointed. Now, I can do things to reject the anointing in my life. If I was getting drunk and in adultery and cussing out my neighbor, I'll guarantee that the anointing ain't going to be anywhere 100 miles near me. Because the presence of God can only be as close to you as you are guarding sacred space. And for some of you, this is, you hearing this is not warm fuzzies to you because you want to live super carnal and do your own thing, but you also want to have this where you see a loved one, someone hurting, someone broken in your life that you truly care for. You want to see the ability to set them free, to liberate them, to release them from oppression, but you're not willing to do the things that will honor the anointing that God put on your life. Jesus did it perfectly. God anointed him. It's the same way with everyone in here. You have been anointed by God. I did a whole message on anointing 10 or 15, 20 weeks ago. You can go and listen to it. I also did a blog on the anointing of God. So if that's bothering you, then I would encourage you to go and look at that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Notice it doesn't say Jesus the Christ. Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because Peter was specifically talking to these Gentiles about a human. Jesus, Yahshua, from Nazareth. This could be the same as saying, hey, God anointed Steve from Pearl City. God anointed Duckling from Freeport. A person from a place. A human from a physical place. That's why Peter did this, to connect them to the humanity of Christ. Why is that important? Because these Gentiles wouldn't be connected to some glorious race that came from Abraham. They had to connect to a human from a place. You're a human from a place. Each one of you. So if it's God that does the anointing and he anoints those that are humans from places, so far, everybody's qualified. Amen. With the Holy Spirit and power. The anointing on your life, this oil that flows down over your head, anointing was done in oil in the Old Testament, this oil that flows down over your life is the Holy Spirit and conjunction power. If you get the Holy Spirit, you get power. If you get power, you get the Holy Spirit. They're inseparable. God is the power of God. Now, that's important for us to recognize because if it's the power of God that's going to do miraculous, supernatural things in people's lives and bodies and circumstances, then it's important to recognize you have exactly that. And it's also important to recognize it ain't you. I don't get to go home and do curls and work up my anointing bicep. And I'm like, I got it now, so I'm going to go lay hands on with my really strong right arm. No, it says God's power and Holy Spirit. So you have had oil of God poured all over you. You are greasy with God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went, human, went around doing good. And I'd have time, I've messed up my time frame again. But I would love to unpack doing good. Jesus was doing good. Let me just say this. Jesus never did bad. Amen? Was Jesus bad when he just called the two guys walking to Emmaus stupid? It was true. They were being stupid. He didn't say it in some derogatory, you're a bunch of idiots and I can't even stand you, but I finished this walk because I started. No, he's saying you're being stupid. Stop it. It's not hurtful. It's good. When you're being stupid, someone needs to tell you you're being stupid. Some of the reasons nobody's told you that you're being stupid lately is probably because you'll emotionally whip them. How dare you talk to me that way? Oh, okay. Well, then just keep being stupid. Good luck. Hope you don't walk off a cliff. Jesus was doing good. Now, this is important to recognize because Jesus healed. So is healing doing good? Not a trick question. You can go with what your heart says here. Is healing doing good?
Yes.
So is making someone sick doing good?
No.
You know, there's entire denominations that believe that God makes people sick. So if God makes you sick, and that's doing good, and Jesus heals you, and that's doing good, God is schizophrenic. God does not make you sick. God doesn't do anything bad. When did Jesus walk up to someone and say, hey, you adulterer, pow! Stop it. So that means pow is not okay. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care what politician it is. You don't get to slap him in the face. Jesus didn't do it. If Jesus didn't do it, it might not be good. If Jesus did it, it's good. Jesus raised the dead, so is that good?
Yes.
Jesus rebuked his disciples.
Yes.
Oh. Holy smokes. Jesus ate.
Yes.
And ate meat.
Yes.
Is eating meat good?
Yes.
I love you. I love you with all of my heart. Jesus loves vegans and vegetarians less, but he loves them. Did Jesus encourage people that were being oppressed by the world? Caught in the act of adultery. What did Jesus do with the woman caught in the act of adultery? Protected her. Loved her. Did Jesus love the tax collector? Jesus loved an IRS agent. This is how you know he was God. Doing good is what Jesus did, which means oftentimes what the other thing that people is doing good, let me set up social services. How about this? Now we call doing good women's health care, which means kill your baby. Now we call that doing good. That's doing good. Reparations for minorities, stealing from one person to give to another person because of the color of their skin. Is that good? Did Jesus do it? We have a world that has to call everything they do good, otherwise none of us would ever do it. If a politician said, hey, I'm going to do this really evil thing, I need you to vote for it. Well, no, I'm not. No, they say it's good. It's good that we assisted suicide your parents. Because, you know, they're just suffering. We should just... Oh, okay, it's good? Yeah, it's good. It's good to smoke marijuana. It does good things for you. It makes you... I know, it just kills a few brain cells, but that's okay. You didn't need those ones anyway. It's okay to gamble now because it's legal. So it's okay. You can go gambling all you want. It's just a gas station. It's just gambling. It's just a scratch-off ticket. It's not like real evil or real sin. Now it's actually good because, hey, you know, in that lottery money, we're going to give it to the schools. It's good. We're going to give it to the schools. And then they're going to turn your little boys into little girls and your little girls into little boys with your money from the lottery. And that's good, right? Yes, it's great. Okay, sign me up. Where do I check the box? If Jesus didn't do it, it's probably not good. If God didn't do it, it ain't good. God is good, so what God does is good. What Jesus is God, God is good. Jesus did good. So healing is good. Raising the dead is good. Ministering to people who are oppressed is good. not putting people into oppression. Doing good. Healing. This is the word iomei in the Greek, and it occurs 26 times. I would encourage you to go look up every 26 times that this word was used. Why? Because if that's what the Bible calls healing, and Jesus did that, then that would be healing. I will tell you this, you're not going to find anywhere in all 26 times where Jesus said, hey, go see a gynecologist. I know. I'm sorry. We live in a society that we like, there's these sacred spaces that you're just not allowed to talk about. And this is true. If I was meeting with you one-on-one and I said, hey, let me tell you about your marriage, let me tell you about how you parent your children, and let's talk about your money, that would be the last meeting me and you ever have. In fact, we're not finishing that one. You're outie. Don't you dare talk to me about those things. Who do you think you are? So it's the same thing about doctors. If I say something derogatory about the medical community, I am going to get lambasted by Christians. Because you know why? Because Christians believe in the medical community. So I just hurt their thing. I don't have a problem with the medical community. I have a bunch of people in my life that are part of the medical community. Deborah is a... Deborah, wherever you are. Deborah. Oh, outside. Oh, working. No. Anyway, Deborah Downs is a nurse. Zach is an EMT. I don't have a problem with medical people. I have a problem with Christians believing their healing is going to come from medical people. Medicine. Go look up the 26 uses of this word that Jesus did, and you're not going to find any medicine, any doctors involved with any of it. It was just Jesus. Jesus was the great physician that healed the people that came to him. He didn't send them away. You need to go see a specialist. I can't handle this one. Healing. All those that were oppressed. The definition of oppressed is, let me give you the usage. Is used to describe the act of oppressing or exercising harsh control over others. Anybody know anybody like that? It conveys a sense of domination, exploitation, often with a negative connotation of unjust or cruel treatment. In the New Testament, it's used to highlight the oppressive actions of those in power against the vulnerable and marginalized. You know, the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't follow the rules of warfare. He doesn't just attack the soldier that's attacking him. No, he'll kill women, children, babies in the womb. He'll go after weak-minded politicians and get them to pass legislation that kills people. He'll go to the food companies and say, hey, if you put this chemical in your cereal, it will save you $14 million a year. Okay, it'll kill 100 million people, but that's fine. It's okay. They don't have to eat that much. The way the enemy works, if you go and read Ephesians 6, it says that the wiles of the devil, which is funny in King James, the wiles of the devil, if you look up wiles that come against you if you don't have the whole armor of God on, the wiles of the devil is deception. The way the enemy gets past your armor is by deceiving you. He doesn't play fair. He'll trick you, he'll lie, he'll show up as an angel of light. Hey, you should come follow me, this will be great. Let's go to this conference of this guy. I've heard he's doing super special, amazing things. Let's go buy his book. Oppression is the enemy finding some little sneaky hole to come into your life, and then when he's in there, he's got you. Sneaks into your house and takes you captive. This is who Jesus released, the oppressed. In fact, he was specifically anointed to do this. Many of you know that I I believe in the Constitution. If you don't have a Constitution, I'll give you one for free. And in the Constitution, we fought the government of the United States on one part of this Constitution, which was the First Amendment. And a lot of people don't know this, but the First Amendment has five clauses. In other words, there are five things protected in the First Amendment. You want to know where they got it from? Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus came to Nazareth in verse 16, and he had been brought up, his hometown, as was his custom, he entered the synagogue. What was Jesus' custom? To what?
Go to church.
Jesus' custom was to go to church. I'm sorry that I'm pointing out all these things in the Bible that nobody likes. It was Jesus' custom to be at church. If you want to be like Jesus, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and when he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled it, and he found the place. He went specifically to the place. It was like he knew what was there. It's like he knew the Bible. Jesus knew the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Does that sound just like what we read in Acts 10:38? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. One, first clause of the First Amendment of the first Son of Liberty. Number one, preach good news to the poor. Number two, proclaim liberty to the captives. Number three, recovery of sight to the blind. Number four, release the oppressed. That connects. And number five, to preach the Jubilee. There was five clauses in the First Amendment of the first Son of Liberty of heaven. Wonder where the founding fathers got it. The people that were there did not get healed. This is one of my favorite places of all of Scripture. It is by far one of the most referenced places in my heart when I'm talking to people about the kingdom. Luke 4:18 and 19. I go here all the time in my head, my heart, my language, because of these five clauses and how radical they are. And Jesus preached one of the most important, most radical, most transformative messages right here at home in his own hometown, in his own beloved church, to the purple chairs. And you know what happened? Let me tell you how amazing this ministry went. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Zero people got healed, and they tried to throw him off a cliff. Best sermon he ever preached, in my opinion, best sermon he ever preached. Zero people healed, they tried to throw him off a cliff. Why? Because they didn't want to receive what he was anointed and empowered to do. We do this oftentimes subconsciously, where we're rejecting what the Spirit of God wants to do in our life. And I'm not saying this about Steve or this message or anything. The Holy Spirit is ministering to your hearts, and he's telling you how this oppression can be released in your life. Physical healing can be released in you. God is faithful. He's not hiding secrets from you about how to make your life good. That's just evil. If I knew how to make your life better and I said, well, I'm not going to tell you. It's going to keep my little secret. Never going to tell you. You got to pray 1,000 times and give me $1 million and then maybe I'll give you one hint. No, that's evil. That's Christian TV. That ain't Christian God. I'm going to skip down to Romans 8. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh. You should say amen right there. I'll give you another chance. I'll back up. You were flipping your Bible, I know. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not controlled by the flesh.
Amen.
There's my beloved. But you're controlled by the Spirit. What Spirit? He says. I don't know. What Spirit is this? But you're controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you. Does the Spirit of God live in you? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. Well, I think I have the Spirit now all of a sudden. Yeah, I bet you do. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead. Here we are back to the dead stuff. Live dead. Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Woohoo! Verse 11, and if, how's the if? If you're born again. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. To your what bodies? Those bodies that really want to be resisting what God wants to do. Like the Bible even admits it. I know they're mortal, but I'm going to give you power. I know your car runs on gas. I'm going to give you money to put gas in it. It's okay. I know your body is going to, you know, as you age, things happen. You get gray hair and become distinguished. That's what Kay tells me. Don't tell me she's lying. I'm more distinguished. God gave me power to deal with this. You too. By what? The same Spirit. You know, if the Spirit of God can raise Jesus from the dead, he was in hell fighting Satan face to face. If the Spirit of God can go and change that, he can change your hangnail, your headache, your germ, your virus. The same Spirit is provoking those assembled as the body of Christ still today. Verse John 3:34 says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. How much of the Spirit do you have? No limit. No limit. Well, I just don't know if I have enough of God to do that. Do you think you get God in pieces? Is there a junior Holy Spirit? Is there a watered-down version of the oil of God? You either get God or you don't. If you get God, you got the one that made the universe that you're in. I'm going to end with these verses, Hebrews 10. Let us hold resolutely to the hope. What is he? And let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Good deeds, that sounds familiar. Good deeds, good works. What kind of good works? Healing. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to have altar workers that are going to come up here and are going to minister to you. These altar workers that come up here have the Spirit of God without measure. No hindrance whatsoever. You can't come up here and say, I have this terminal thing and the doctor said and the medicine says that nobody ever has been healed of this at any time. They're going to say, I have the Spirit of God without measure. Or at least they need to. I just put a bunch of pressure on my altar workers. They are going to have whatever you need. And if you don't need to come to an altar worker, that's fine. You don't have to have somebody lay hands on you because Jesus on the inside of you with nail-pierced hands is laying hands on you right now. You're being touched by the Spirit of God who's on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives in and quickens your mortal body right now. The same Spirit. What's the distance between the hands of the Spirit and your manifestation? It's about that far. You can get this distance covered right now. You just partook of his broken body and his blood, and it'll cover that distance. Please rise. I'd like to bless you.
Thank you so much for sharing this time with us as we have encountered Jesus Christ through the ministry of his life-changing word. If you would like to learn more about Steve Castle Ministries and Beloved Church, you can go online to stevecastle.com or belovedchurchillinois.com. You can also contact us at 815-990-0367. Always remember that you are a part of the beloved family of God, and Beloved Church is the place where you are greatly loved. Now please open your heart to receive as Pastor Steve proclaims the blessing of the Father over your life.
I pray, I declare that above all things, that you allow the finished work of the cross to bring prosperity into your finances and also divine health, prospering your body. And all of these things are going to affect you in a supernatural way as you allow your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your personality to be perfected in prosperity that the Father desires for you to have. We love you, and we cannot wait to see and be with you again soon. Goodbye, beloved.